a brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. Holy Roman emperors from Frederick Barbarossa to Frederick II and the popes that they had to contend with. I do this after every so many sections, and so this is a good opportunity to do this. So we're going to start with Frederick Barbarossa, who was emperor from 1152 to 1190. Well, there are all sorts of, I think there's probably more popes here than anybody else had to deal with. You have Anastasius IV, 1153-1154, Hadrian IV, 1154 to 1159. Then you have Alexander III. Now, he's so-called pope from 1159 to 1181, but there's an anti-pope, Victor IV, 1164, Pascal III, 1168, Callistus III, 1178, and he came back again in 1179, and then Innocent III in 1180 before he becomes regular pope. Then you have Lucius III, 1181 to 1185, Urban III, 1185 to 1187, Gregory VIII, 1187 to 1187, and then when Barbarossa dies, there's still one more pope, that's Clement III, from 1187 to 1191, and of course Barbarossa dies in 1190. So that's quite a large amount of church change. Well, after Barbarossa, we have Henry VI. Now, he's Holy Roman Emperor from 1190 to 1197. And he only has to contend with two. That's Clement III, 1187 to 1191, and Celestine III, 1191 to 1198. And then there is the period where there's a dispute over the legitimate emperor, which was not settled until 1208 by Innocent III. So during that time period, which is 1198 to 1202, there is Celestine III and then Innocent III. And Innocent III will be pope from 1198 to 1216. So that includes Henry IV, and 1198 to 1208, then Philip from 1208 to 1208, and then Otto IV from 1208 to 1215, and then we end up with Frederick II. So that was the emperors versus the popes. Well, let's finish off Innocent's reign. The last years of Innocent's life was spent preparing for yet another crusade. He had overseen no less than four crusades in his time, three of which are some of the greatest blights on the history of Europe. The fourth crusade sacked and pillaged the Christians of Constantinople and resulted in the establishment of the Latin Empire of Constantinople, which Innocent was quick to exploit for his own gains, while at the same time condemning the events which created it. The Albigensian Crusade resulted in the slaughter of tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, of Christians, dissenters, loyal Catholics, who were butchered at the whims of self-seeking Crusader lords. The Children's Crusade, which had been a debacle resulting in the death and slavery of tens of thousands of children. Only the crusade to Spain against the Muslim invaders could be considered of any merit, but amid all of this, Jerusalem still remained in Islamic hands. The next crusade would remain to be taken up by another pope, for after 18 and a half terrible years, Innocent's reign mercifully ended. Although he had been the youngest of popes, he had suffered from frequent fevers and died in his 50s, probably of malaria. With Innocent, the papacy had reached its height of power, but it also created with it a renewed sense of determination for those who opposed the papacy's power. Innocent had drawn the battle lines, and with the formation of the Inquisition, it became clear that dissent and debate were no longer to be tolerated within the church. 300 years later, it was not Luther who left the church, but the ghostly arm of Innocent reaching out of the grave and pushing him away. The reformers sought to reform the church, not to leave it. The papal hierarchy had determined that this would not happen. With Innocent, Europe had lost its innocence. It may be considered frivolous by some to say that Europe had ever been innocent, but with one objectively compares the days of Charlemagne and the Ottonian dynasty to the ancient Romans, there was no doubt that Europe was changing. It was ever so slowly abandoning its pagan and barbaric ways and moving towards a Christian society. They were still pagan at heart, but the makings of modern world were slowly beginning to blossom forth. With the rise of Gregory VII, much of this was stifled. While made in the name of God and Christianity, what Gregory VII sought, though he didn't know it, was a return to an ancient pagan society. What Gregory/Hildebrand impeded, Innocent all but shattered. As aforementioned, his reign saw no less than 3 crusades, each which ranks among the worst in Christian history. During a 4th crusade, Christians in Constantinople were butchered and raped. The Albigensian crusade did the same to the French dissidents. While Innocent had been quick to decry the evils of Christians killing Christians in the 4th crusade, he joyfully promulgated it against Frenchmen. Still another crusade, the Children's Crusade, ended with thousands of European children dead or enslaved. Yet these sins were not enough for Innocent. He completed his legacy of evil by being the first to formally institutionalize the Inquisition. On Innocent's head lay the blood of an estimated 30 million Christians and countless Jews throughout the ages. One is reminded of the Christian prophecy of the harlot church, who was drunk on blood of the saints and martyrs, a charge leveled against Innocent by some of the detractors of the Albigensian crusade. Innocent had reached the peak of the power of the papacy. Never again would the papacy hold such complete and autonomous control over the whole of Europe. But they would try. Nevertheless, from history's most evil events often come some of its brightest moments. Following Innocent III, Europe's people began to slowly seek independence from papal power. It would be a reformation 300 years in the making, but from that day forward, the battle lines were drawn. Innocent had scorned the Magna Carta, but to England's people, it was still the law. Innocent had slaughtered the Albigensi, but the millions of dissidents scattered throughout Europe over the years, they were martyrs against the horror of Babylon and the Antichrist. Innocent's reign marked one of the darkest points in medieval history. He is respected and honored by modern historians for his achievements, but in terms of character, he remains among the most wicked rulers. He openly declared that, quote, every cleric must obey the Pope, even if what he commands is evil, end of quote. It is therefore the height of irony that this Pope, whose power reached beyond that of any emperor, raised Frederick II as his imperial protege. For that same Frederick would spend the rest of his life fighting the papacy and trying to crush the power that Innocent had created. So, Innocent is quite an interesting character, to say the very least. And now we're going to be heading into the reign of Frederick II. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987-1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.